Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just read in the scriptures that you will judge the people righteously. And in our message today, we're going to be talking an awful lot about your righteous judgment. I pray that you would help us to stay attentive, that we would be encouraged by the promises contained in your word, but also at the same time, that we would see the true need for us to be faithful witnesses to this lost and dying world while there's still some time for folks to get saved. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now. Give us some understanding and discernment as we look into your word. Amen. Hey, we've been rolling on through the book of Revelation for quite a few weeks now. And last week, as we continued with our study, we watched as the angels poured out those seven final plagues of God's wrath upon the unbelieving world. And as those seven bowls of God's wrath were poured out after the seventh bowl, we were told that the seven-year tribulation came to a climax with the event known in the scriptures as the Battle of Armageddon. All of the armies in the world from all nations, they gathered around God's people in Israel to try to destroy the nation once and for all. And we were told that rather than that happening, the Lord Jesus returned and he destroyed all of these enemy armies. And with that, the wrath of God in the seven-year tribulation period came to a close. Now, because chapter 16 only gave us like a view of this from 30,000 feet, we just had like a brief overview of these events. I don't know about any of you, but I still got a lot of questions that were unanswered. I need some more details. I need to know more about the Battle of Armageddon. What exactly happened there? What happened at the second coming of Christ? Now, another one of the events that we witnessed last week was the fall of Babylon the Great. And we know from our previous studies that Babylon refers to both a false religious system and also a very powerful political and economic system that's going to rule during that time of the tribulation. Now, we were given a preview of the destruction of both of these systems back in chapter 14 a couple weeks ago when the angel said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." And the reason he said fallen twice is because this speaks of a twofold judgment, the judgment on both of these godless entities. Now, last week in chapter 16, we were told that God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. So here's where we're at this point in our study. The enemies of God have been destroyed. Jesus Christ has returned to set up his millennial kingdom here on earth. But before we're given details about the actual return of Jesus, which we're going to see in Revelation chapter 19, the next couple weeks, we're going to see what John tells us about the fall of Babylon the Great. Chapter 17, which we're studying today, tells us about the fall of the religious Babylon, which is a false counterfeit version of the true church. And the 18th chapter tells us about the fall of the political and economic Babylon, which is going to be the Antichrist's center of operation during the tribulation. So look, that's a review. The scene is set. Our message for today is entitled Tale of Two Babylons, Part 1. Boy, it took me a long time to come up with that title. I'll tell you. It's like, man, there's two parts to this. How can I title this? So there you go, Part 1. John begins chapter 17 by saying this. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, he's talking about the bowls of God's wrath, came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters." You know, all throughout the Old Testament, anytime the nation of Israel turned away from God and began worshiping false gods and idols, God always referred to that as spiritual adultery. And he said that the Israelites were prostituting themselves before these false gods. And we see the same language being used here. This angel refers to this counterfeit religious system of Babylon as the great prostitute. We're also told in verse 1 that this prostitute sits on many waters. What does that mean? Look, I don't have to speculate because over in verse 15, the angel tells us. He says, the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. Folks, this religious system, this false religion, this prostitute called Babylon is going to be very powerful in those days. This will be a government-sponsored religion. And the only people that are not going to be under its control are the ones who finally come to trust Jesus as their Savior during the tribulation. Now, you may ask yourself, how is it possible that one religion could have so much power over the whole entire world? Folks, because all of these leaders of the revised Roman Empire, they're going to be the shot callers in those days. It'll be a one-world government and therefore a one-world religion that these guys are backing. And if you don't get on board with what they're laying down, you're going to face the consequences. Verse 2 says, with her, that is with this false religion, with her the kings of the earth committed adultery. That means they're on board. And the inhabitants of the world were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. You may not realize this. There is a great movement in this world today to bring everything under the same umbrella. There is a desire on the parts of many for a one-world common currency, a one-world religion. How many times have you heard, if you're paying attention, you hear these real enlightened and allegedly educated people say things like this. Well, I don't think it matters whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew. I mean, we all worship the same God. We just have different ways of getting to heaven, that's all. Now look, if you're some kind of liberal theologian, you may hear that and think that that sounds real nice and cozy. And I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There are not different ways of getting to heaven. We don't all worship the same God. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trying to do it any other way, you will not make it. Not my opinion. Friend, this is what the Word of God says, and if you don't remember anything else I tell you today, remember that. Only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after all those who are believers in Jesus are taken out of this world at the rapture, which we saw take place between the end of Revelation chapter 3 and the beginning of Revelation chapter 4, so all Christians that were already Christians at that time, we're already in heaven. It is only the folks who never trusted in Jesus that are left behind that go through the 7-year period of tribulation. And after the rapture happens, these world leaders, they will declare that this particular religious system is the official state religion. You're going to have no choice. You don't get on board, you're going to face the consequences. Now, in the next few verses, we're given a deeper description of this religious Babylon. Look what John writes. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit to the desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. And she held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus. A lot going on here. This false religious system, symbolized by a prostitute, is said to be sitting on a beast. Well, we've seen this same description of the beast before. 7 heads and 10 horns, and we've already identified this beast as a symbol of both the Antichrist as well as the revised Roman Empire. See, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist and the leaders of this revised Roman Empire, they're going to enter into an unholy alliance with the leaders of this false religion, and they're going to make it the official religion of the world. As a result, this counterfeit church will become the wealthiest, richest, most powerful religion that the world has ever seen. You say, well, man, wait a minute. How do you know that? Look at the description of the prostitute. Dressed in purple and scarlet. Those are royal colors. Those are the color of a king and a queen. She is glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. She's holding a golden cup, but it's full of abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. Now, this is a reference to the nations being intoxicated with this false gospel. Look, Satan has always been the great counterfeiter. And this government-run religion that is in power during the first half of the tribulation, it's a counterfeit version of the real church, which is made up of all of us who trust in Jesus. Think about this. In Scripture, when the church, all believers in Jesus, that's me, that's you, regardless of your denomination, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a part of the church. How does the Bible describe the church? As a pure, undefiled virgin bride. How does the Bible describe this counterfeit version of the church? As a prostitute. It's a counterfeit version. This prostitute doesn't wear a crown. She's got the mark of her profession written right on her forehead. It says Mystery Babylon. Once again, a counterfeit. The real true Christian church, the Apostle Paul describes that as the mystery of God. Why does he call the church that? Because in the Old Testament, the church was never mentioned. We didn't find out about this mystery of God getting to heaven through putting our faith in Jesus Christ until the New Testament. The reason that this prostitute is called Mystery Babylon is because her identity was kept a mystery until right here in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. See, every single thing that God does, Satan tries to make a counterfeit version of it because his desire has always been to be like God. Now, one more time. The church at the time of the rapture, we're out of here. So we won't suffer any of these things that we've read about. All those who were not believers in Jesus, they're the ones that get left behind. Now, some of these folks that get left behind, they might be very religious people. But here's the difference. Their religion never led them to see, hey, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need somebody to mediate between me and God the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. Their religion never led them to repent, never led them to turn to Jesus. And as a result, they got left behind. So as the tribulation begins, this false religious system continued, not as a pure, undefiled virgin bride, but as a prostitute. Now, we saw back in the 10th chapter of Genesis, the original kingdom of Babylon. Remember, I told you it was founded by Noah's grandson, a guy named Nimrod, and we all kind of laughed about his name. But he was not a simple-minded fella. He was a great warrior and a mighty hunter before the Lord. He founded the original kingdom of Babylon, and that's where all the false religions first began. Remember, I told you that. His wife, a lady named Semiramis, set herself up and called herself the Queen of Heaven and wanted people to worship her. This is where all false religions began, right in Babylon. That's why this false religion in the time of tribulation is called Babylon, the mother of all prostitutes. Many false religions in the world today, and all of them can trace their roots right back to the original Babylon. Now, John goes on from here. Not only is she a prostitute, he says she was drunk with the blood of the saints. She's drunk on the blood of those who bore testimony of Jesus. This is not just a reference to those who become Christians finally during the tribulation and are martyred for their faith. If you go back in history, you will see that ever since the church began, back in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost some 2,000 years ago, Christians have been killed for their faith. Down through the centuries, millions upon millions of godly men and women, they've been killed because they trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that this mother of all prostitutes is responsible for the shedding of their blood. Look at verse 6. John is taking all this in and he says, "When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. But the angel said to me, 'Why are you astonished?'" the angel wants to know, "What are you so confused about? I'll explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast she rides, which has 7 heads and 10 horns." So the angel's saying, "Look, I know what you're seeing is quite a shock, but don't worry, John. I'm going to tell you what all of this means, and you're going to understand it." He says, "The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction." What in the world does that mean? He once was, and now he's not. He's going to come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. We're going to break this down a little bite at a time, okay? It's not that hard to figure out. The beast which was. This is kind of actually a twofold answer here. We know from the scripture that the man who is the Antichrist, at some point, he will receive a wound that appears to be fatal. Everybody will think he died. And then in the greatest counterfeit of all time, this Antichrist will rise up and be like, "Hey, I was dead, but I was resurrected." It's a counterfeit of what happened with Jesus. So that's part of what we're seeing here. But the actual more applicable definition of what we see here, the better description of what we see here is this. The phrase "now is not" and "once was" is referring to the Roman Empire. This beast that once was is referring to the beast of the Roman Empire. At one time, the Roman Empire was the most powerful kingdom that ever existed. In those days, there were only 120 million people on the face of the earth, and 60 million of them, they were slaves. Actually, in the Roman Empire, there were more people than on earth. But the Roman Empire was made up of 120 million people. 60 million were slaves. Nobody had ever seen a powerhouse like the Roman Empire, folks. Well, what about "now is not"? It means that the Roman Empire now is not. But listen, don't be fooled. The Roman Empire is not dead. Currently, it is just simply fragmented apart into the nations that make up the continent of Europe that we see today. And when the angel says the beast will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction, it's referring to the Roman Empire that's going to be revised by Satan and the leaders of these countries that make up this kingdom, and they're all going to go to their destruction in God's good time. We're further told here that all those who do not have their names written in the book of life, they will be astonished when they see these things happen. Now, the angel continues to explain things to John. He says in verse 9, listen, this calls for a mind with wisdom. Those 7 heads on the beast, those are 7 hills on which the woman sits. Folks, this is a clear reference to the city of Rome. Even Roman authors for centuries and centuries, they have referred to the city of Rome as the city on 7 hills. So where is this false religion, this great prostitute, where is her center of operation going to be? In the city of Rome. There's more to the explanation. The angel says these 7 heads, not only are they 7 hills, they're also 7 kings. Now, here's where you can get into trouble. This part gets confusing, but listen, we're going to explain it. These 7 heads are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen. 1 is. The other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. Don't get nervous. I'm going to break this all down for you. You're going to get it. See, if we dust off our history books, here's what we find. At the time this prophecy was made, 5 Roman emperors and their kingdoms had already fallen. The kingdoms of Julius Caesar, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, and Nero. So those are the kings that were. They're already gone and done. What about the king who is? Who's the angel talking about? He's talking about the guy who's the king of the Roman Empire at the time he's talking to John. This was a fellow named Domitian. He was such a godless man. His hatred for Christianity was so strong, not only did he kill thousands upon thousands of believers in Jesus, he's the guy that sent old John to the island of Patmos in the first place to exile him for preaching the gospel. And this is right where John was at when he received this revelation from God. Verse 11. The beast who once was and now is not, this time it's referring to the Antichrist, is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. As I told you before, sometimes when we give this description of the beast, it's referring to the revised Roman Empire. Sometimes it's referring personally to the Antichrist. In this case, it's referring personally to the Antichrist. So the angel's telling him, look, there's seven kingdoms, all right, regarding this Roman Empire. You got the five that there's already been. You got the one who is now. And there's one that hasn't come yet. That's going to be the seventh kingdom. And we're told here that this eighth king is the Antichrist, and he's the one who's going to rule over this seventh kingdom, over this revised Roman Empire. The Antichrist will be the ruler of this empire. Therefore, he will belong to it. He's going to enjoy his time and power, but when the Lord comes back, he's going to meet his destruction. Now, beginning of verse 12, the angel reveals to John what the 10 horns of the beast represent. He says, the 10 horns you saw, they're 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. We've already identified these 10 horns in a past message. These are kings who are going to rule over the 10 European nations that'll make up the revised Roman Empire. These are the 10 kings. The angel says they're going to receive authority for 1 hour. That doesn't mean a literal 60 minutes. It just means that their time and power is going to be very, very short-lived. See, when the tribulation begins, these 10 guys are going to be the shot callers on this earth. They're going to control everything. But halfway through the tribulation, by that time, they will have willingly handed over their authority and power to the Antichrist and become subservient to him. Finally, at the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist and these other 10 kings are going to be destroyed. Look at verse 14. It says, they will make war against the Lamb. That's talking about Jesus, of course. But the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen and faithful. Chosen and faithful followers. This is a reference to the Battle of Armageddon and all the armies of the Lord coming back when he makes his return to strike down and destroy his enemies. So these 10 kings, hey, they better enjoy their day in the sun because what's in store for them after that is not good at all. Now, at the beginning of the message, we said Babylon was actually a reference to two different entities. One's religious, the other's economic. And although it may appear on the surface that the fall of Babylon is one event, that's not the case, I can assure you. Both of these institutions are going to be destroyed, but not at the same time, not even by the same person. Let's see what the Bible says. At the beginning of this chapter, we saw this religious Babylon represented by a prostitute. She was sitting on a beast. Folks, this is a picture of the unholy alliance between the kingdom of the Antichrist and this government-sponsored religion that'll be in power at the beginning of the tribulation. I just told you a few minutes ago, Satan's desire has always been to be like God. He's the one who wants to be worshipped. And he's only going to allow this religious Babylon to exist as long as it benefits him. We were told in the book of Daniel that the Antichrist would enter into a 7-year covenant of peace with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. But what's he do 3.5 years into the tribulation? He walks into the temple of God and says, I am God, worship me. Once he does that, he's going to have no use at all for this false religion of that we call Babylon anymore. he and these 10 kings of the revised Roman Empire, they're going to declare war on this false religion. They're going to completely annihilate it, forcing everybody on earth to worship the devil. Now, Dr. David Jeremiah, he says, when I picture this prostitute riding on the back of this beast, he says, I'm reminded of this old limerick that I learned when I was a kid that goes like this. There once was a woman from Niger who rode on the back of a tiger. They returned from the ride with the woman inside and the smile on the face of the tiger. And that's what we see happening here. The beast, he's only going to tolerate this prostitute for so long. And when he's done with her, the Bible says that he will devour her flesh and burn her in the fire. This is a warning here for us, friends, about government-mandated religions, religions that are run by the government. Now, I'm not talking about having Christians in office. That's a good thing. If we have true God-fearing men and women in office, that's a blessing for our country. But what I'm saying here is this is a stern warning against the marriage of religion and politics. Anytime we've seen that marriage in the past, it has always ended in a very violent and bloody divorce. This is no exception. Look at verse 16. The beast and the 10 horns, that's the 10 kings, they will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. Then the angel says, the woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. What city's that? Rome. That's where the false religious system is located. Now, during those first 3.5 years, the Antichrist, he's going to tolerate this religion because she's helping to further his cause. But in reality, he hates her because he wants all the glory for himself. And just as he breaks his covenant of peace with Israel, he's going to break his covenant of peace with the people that rule or that are leaders in this religion. And his hatred against this religion is so strong that it's compared to him eating a woman's flesh and burning her in a fire. That's how this religion is going to be treated by the Antichrist once he's done with her. As we close, let me tell you this. That's what happens to all false religions. They get destroyed just like that. No counterfeit for Christianity is ever going to have victory. It's never going to come into the presence of Christ. It's never going to be raptured into heaven. And eventually it'll be destroyed by the Antichrist. Now, we've already been told the Antichrist and the 10 kings of this revived Roman Empire, they're going to destroy this false religious system. And they think that by doing this, they're carrying out their own plan. But check out verse 17. God put it in their hearts to accomplish his purpose. And for how long? Until his words are fulfilled. See, even in this, God is the one who's in charge. He's the one controlling this whole thing. So as we close today, I think our prayer should be the same one that Jesus prayed when he prayed to God the Father. And remember what he said when he taught the apostles to pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I think about that, I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, as the 17th chapter ends, religious Babylon ends with it. Next week, we're going to see the fall of the other Babylon, which is the center of business and political power for the Antichrist. I hope you can make it back to see how this ends up. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we treaded into some mighty, mighty deep waters today. And Lord, while we may have a little trouble understanding every single detail of what we read and studied here today, I do pray that everybody here at least has somewhat of a better understanding of these things. Father, I pray that they're encouraged by the knowledge that no child of God, nobody who has trusted in Jesus up to this point, will ever undergo any of these judgments that we read about. All of our sins were judged at the cross. The penalty for those sins were paid with the precious blood of your son Jesus when he died for us. And Lord, because he rose from the dead, we can have confidence that you're going to rise us up, Lord. You're going to give us eternal life as we spend forever and ever in your heavenly kingdom. And I'm certainly looking forward to that. Father, I pray that if we have any here today who have never seen a need to repent of their sin, they've never seen a need to get right with you and pray to receive Jesus, Lord, I pray they see that need today. I pray that we can reduce the population of hell and increase the population of heaven. Bless every family that's represented here today. Lord, keep us walking the straight and narrow. Help us to be faithful witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all very much. God bless you. Hey, before we bow for the benediction, just want to give you a reminder. If you have a special prayer request, you'd like somebody to pray for you right now, as soon as we have the benediction, we'll have a couple of our deacons up here. Please don't be nervous or shy about coming up here. These guys want to pray for your needs, so please feel free to come on up if you need some prayer. Let's bow for the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.